throughout the scriptures, but I tell you, the songwriters and the poets and all those folks grabbed a hold of that, and they sure do love that wording, don't they? They like all that kind of frilly stuff, but I tell you, I just like it. Well, as another songwriter said, you can call it whatever you want to. I just call it home. Amen? That's where we're going one of these days, to be with the Lord. So I'm thankful for that tonight. And why don't you take your Bibles tonight? Look with me in the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, and just read a bit there, if you would, and we'll talk about that thought that Paul has in 2 Corinthians. Now, you know, when you're studying some of these books, Paul is saying some things in 1 Corinthians that he does not say in 2 Corinthians. I mean, some of the ideas, it seems like 2 Corinthians, he's a little bit more defensive of the ministry and of the things that are going on and who he is and what others are saying about him. And I guess that, you know, that's the Holy Spirit of God just dealing with him and saying, look, here's what we're going to be dealing with. And maybe in 1 Corinthians, he does a lot of dealing with the church and who they are and, you know, some of their faults and failures and shortcomings. But he gets into this second and he talks about the ministry and the importance of the ministry. And not that Paul is saying, look at me, I'm important. But he's saying the ministry that God has put me in is an important place to be. And, you know, some folks say he's putting up some acts and thoughts and directives trying to vindicate who he is and what he's done. I don't think he needs to. I believe the Holy Ghost of God will take care of that, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. He knows the truth. So look here, though, if you will, in chapter number 9. And begin with me, if you will, in verse number 1. Paul says this, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast to of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, again for the evening. I thank you again for loving us, and thank you for your word and for the things that you direct us in, show us, and give us the wisdom through. And I pray now, God, just open our hearts, help us to see your word, help us to see you, help us to see all that we need to in the scriptures, and may you just reveal some things to us tonight. Help us to have the readiness of our hearts and the person of the Lord Jesus down on the inside of us, that we may show that to this entire world, that they may know who we are and what we stand for, and that we are of Christ and lifting up the name of Jesus. And we'll just give you thanks for that tonight. If there's somebody tonight lost, draw them to you in place of salvation. We'll give you praise. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach to you on this little thought tonight, if we can, on what do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Now, Paul is again, as I say, when you read this whole thing, Paul is touching the ideas here about the church and what they're supposed to be doing and the ministry that he's put into them. And, you know, here's what should be coming out of that. And, you know, Paul is like, here's the work that God has called me to. God has called me into this place. Paul's an apostle, okay? He says himself, he talks about the different apostles that were before him. He said, and I, was one born out of due season. I'm the least of the apostles, but God had called him for a specific duty. And aren't you glad God is still calling men to do a specific duty? I'm glad God still calls preachers. I'm glad God still calls men. I'm glad God still establishes his church and his people and the teachings and the doctrine, all the things that we need out of the Word of God, he still gives them to us. Amen? So Paul is just fortifying this, I guess you'd say. He's emphasizing some of these things as you go through it. And Paul is saying, look, I have taught you, I have preached you, I have prepared you. And you can see now that if you go back and you read in the rest of this and previous to this, you see that Paul is talking about them being supportive of the poor saints in Jerusalem. Now, the head of the church that was there headquartered in Jerusalem, as they were there, they've gone through some tough times and some hard things. They've gone through the Roman rule and the pressure and all the, even the people around about them and even their fellow citizens and the Jewish legal people and you know all of the church folk that were from the Judaistic ideas. Man, they've got all kinds of pressure. But you know what they're doing? They're still standing for God. They're still loving the Lord Jesus. They're still the church that Jesus has established. Now, they're having some problems. And part of them is they're not able, because of their standing in the community, if you will, the way that things are going against them. Well, you'll see Paul mentions it several times that they are the poor saints. They're poor saints. In other words, they don't have, because of the way they're treated, of the things that are taken from them, because of the community, because of the government, because of even their evil so-called fellow countrymen. Hey, they've all turned against them. And they're in a hard place. And Paul said, we're coming through, taking up some offerings to send back to the poor saints who are at Jerusalem. I mean, that's what his idea is. And he is saying, and you don't see it just here, you see him mention that to the Philippians and to the folks at Ephesus and to the folks at Galatia. All those folks, he's given them, you know, and saying, look, you've blessed the people at Colossae. He talks about how well they had done it. The people at Thessalonica sent once and again, he said, to his name. I mean, these people are helping. Now, he's telling these folks in Corinth, I'm sending some guys to you. It ought to be coming, and you better get your offering ready. Amen? Man, how would y'all like that here? Me send in a message and say, hey, y'all get ready. I'm sending some guys in. We're going to take up an offering. Amen? I mean, they ain't coming in with offering plate. We're coming in with wash tubs. Amen? And I mean, they're going to come and be like Lot was there and Lot's wife. They're going to linger until something comes out of your pocket. Amen? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Some of y'all would say, hallelujah, preacher, don't send them today. But, you know, that's the way we are. We, the idea of it. And I think that's what Paul is saying to these people. You like the idea of it. He said, but let's get some follow through. Let's get some follow through on this. And I want you to notice, as I say, the idea of this is, what do you got to lose? What I mean by that is, you'll never lose when you give and just worship and praise God with everything you got. You got nothing to lose if you'll give your all to him. Now, I want you to notice this in just three little short ideas. If you'll, first of all, when you look at this, I believe Paul says this. First of all, to go through this act of your giving and doing as you ought to for the Lord, you are to have some love involved with it. There ought to be some love involved with it. I want you to notice what he says here in the very first part of this. And look, verse number one, he says, for it's touching the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous. He said, there's no need for me to even really have to mention this to you. I do not need to tell you again and again. He said, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Don't you notice what Paul is saying? First of all, he's saying, I want to notice in you, and we all need to have this notice, that we have a readiness to love people. Amen. There, you ought to be ready to love people. I mean, we're to have a love that Paul speaks of. And you ought to be ready to love people. We ought not to have to prime you and pump you and push you to get you to love people. Amen. I think Brother Ronnie is talking about this morning in our Sunday school class. Some of you have probably been there, and you go to churches, and I've been in a few of them myself, where you go to a church, and hey, don't nobody shake your hand. Don't nobody come over and say, hey, how you doing? And you're a visitor here, and you know, we want to welcome you. I've been in some of those places, buddy, where they look at you. You know what they do most of the time? Come up to you. Somebody comes up to you, they look at you and say, you sitting in my seat. Amen. Well, how do you do? Amen. I'm glad to see you too. I mean, look, we ought to have a readiness to love people, especially when they come to the house of God. I mean, out in the community, when there are people that are hurting, when there are people that are in need, when there are people that have issues, you know, whatever it is, hey, we ought to be ready to have some love. And Paul is saying that to thee. He said, I know the forwardness of your mind, and I've boasted, I've bragged on y'all to some other people about how ready you were. We ought to have a readiness to love people. Amen. You ought to be ready to love. Love old sinners. Love the other saints. Love those that are unlovable. Love them that loved you. And as old guy said, love them that don't. Amen. I mean, hey, just love. You ought to have a readiness to love people. Paul said you ought to have that readiness for loving people. But I want you to notice what he says there in the latter part of though, verse number 2. He said, your zeal hath provoked very many. He said, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, you may be ready. He said, it looks like you're ready, but you still got somewhat of a reluctance to love people. You ever had a reluctance to love people? I mean, somebody, you look at somebody and you say, well, I just don't know about them. I'm not sure about them. I just don't know if you can take that in or not. I mean, I'm not sure. Brother, hey, listen, it never hurts. I mean, what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose? When you get ready to love people, I'll guarantee you God's got some benefits and some blessings for you if we just learn how to love people. Now, again, everybody ain't lovable, right? Sometimes people are gruff. Sometimes people are hard on the exterior. Some people have all kinds of issues on the outside. But let me tell you this, man, if you'll just love them, God can soften some of that up. God can do some work on the inside of them. God can change some heart. You know what you need and I need to do? We need to be ready to love them, but we ought to lose that reluctance to love them. Well, you know, they smell funny. They look funny. They're different than me. They talk different. They dress different. They act different. Just go ahead and love them anyway. Amen? I mean, Paul, when if you read, we've gone through the book of Acts, and you see how he went to all of these different places. You know what? They ate different food than what Paul was used to. But you know what he said? He said, God can bless that stuff if I use it for his honor and for his glory and not try to do what they've done with it. Like we were talking about with Daniel this morning. Right. Daniel purposed and sorry, he wasn't going to defile himself. But let me tell you something. Paul said sometimes you just got to do what you got to do and let folks know that you love them. Amen? Amen. Let folks know that you love them. Y'all remember the missionary that we had that was over in a foreign country and was a missionary. Brother Tommy Tillman was a missionary to the lepers, and how that people told him when he went over, they said, Brother Tillman, don't go over and touch them people. They're all diseased. They've all got leprosy. You'll get it. You'll die. Boy, it's just terrible. Don't have anything to do with them. He said, God just called me to love people. And you know what he did? He got out there among them. And as he got among them, he shook hands with them. He touched them, put his arm around them, told them he loved them. And buddy, hey, they were all in the very beginning. They didn't know how to react. He just loved them. Why? Because he said, that's what the Lord said. Love them. Aren't you glad Jesus came down here and loved on me and you old sinners? Amen. Hey, Jesus loved lepers. Hey, you know, the religious crowd. You know how the religious crowd was in Jesus' day? One of the Pharisees said, if he knew who that woman was, he wouldn't want her near him. Jesus knew who she was. He knew she's a sinner. He knew. But you know what he did? He forgave her. Amen. And she got saved. Amen. You know why? Because he had no reluctance in loving her. I'm telling you, that's the way you and I ought to be. We ought to have no reluctance in loving people. You see a reluctance here. He said, look, I've sent the brethren to come, unless that bragging that I've done on you be in vain. And he said, look, in verse 4, less happily if they come to Macedonia, or those of Macedonia come to me and find you unprepared. We, he said, I'd not say ye, but it would include me. We'd be embarrassed. We'd be ashamed in this confident boasting. He said, don't make me ashamed of how I bragged on y'all. Amen? Just love them. Show them some love. Show them that you can love them. You know what? Hey, that was the Jewish people over in Jerusalem that were still loving the Lord. And you know what? They needed help. And you know what Paul said? Help them. Help them. Well, they're not like us. Well, God bless your heart. Amen? You ever said that about somebody? Well, I told folks sometimes, my mama used to have this phrase, they're not our kind of people. Well, okay. Well, you know, we know what that means. But I'm telling you, you still got to love them anyway. They might not speak the same language you do. They might not dress like you. They may not even bathe like you do sometimes, right? But I'm telling you, you still need to love them. Lose that reluctance of loving folks. Paul said you're ready to love them, but you seem like you got a reluctance of loving them. But he said, I want you to know this. There is reward in loving them. Look there in verse number 5. He said, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort you, exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not a matter, or not as of covetousness. He said, I wanted them to come and take this because I want you to know this. There is a blessing when you give. And it's not out of, you know, the covetousness of something, but it's because God has done something for you and you ought to be a blessing to somebody else. You ever thought about that? You need to be a blessing to somebody else. Paul says, look, you're to have some love. And your love ought to be ready. You ought to be ready. You ought to have no reluctance. But I want you to know, when you do love, thank God, I'm glad God's got a reward for me and you. He's got a reward for us when we love people. He said, I just thought it was necessary to tell those men that's coming before they get there that you get your stuff together because, man, you're going to have a bounty. And I want you to know, there is a blessing in giving that bounty. When you help somebody else, I'm glad to report, God is ready to do something for you. Amen? God's ready to do something for you. So he talks about we're to have this love. But second of all, notice this in the next few verses. Paul talks about not just that we're to have a love, but he said we have a law. God has a law that he has given through the idea of giving and of being a blessing to somebody else. Listen to what he says there in verse number 6. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And then he says, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen? I mean, God loves it when you give and you give cheerfully. Boy, I'm telling you, that ought to be one of the smilingest times during the service. We're getting ready to take out the offering. Everybody ought to grin from ear to ear. Amen? But sadly, most people don't. Some folks want to frown the whole time. I told y'all about the guy, you know, that's taking up the offering, and he's on the front row, and they put his dollar in the offering, and that plate started going down the aisle, and as that plate went down the aisle, he turned and watched it as it went away from him, and God be with you till we meet again. Amen? That's the way a lot of folks are about their money. They're ashamed of or find some hurt in the fact that they have to give and give to God. I want to tell you, thank God I'm glad I get to give. I love to try to just give and be a blessing to God and do what I can and whatever it is. And it's not just financially. There's other things that you can give, right? But here's Paul talking about giving, and he's talking about here doing some sacrificial giving, but he brings it to thought in this mindset. He says, we've got a law. Aren't you glad God has laws? Every time that we think about that, I can take this thing, I can drop it, and every time I drop it, it goes down. That's the law of gravity. Do you know that? That's the law of gravity. You take something and swing it in a circle, and it flies, and you let it go, and it flies off in its place. That's the law of centrifugal force. Something's going to spread out and go somewhere, right? Those are some laws that God has put in this universe. There is also another law that is a spiritual law that God says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you'll reap also bountifully. What's he saying? Well, he said, this is one of those things. It's an idea about sowing and reaping. It's an idea. Look on over just in the next book in your Bible. Look in the book of Galatians and chapter number 6, if you will. And Paul kind of magnifies that or extends on a little bit. Galatians 6 and 7, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen? God's got some laws about sowing and reaping. And part of it is, you sow to this flesh, you're going to get back. You know what that means? That means if I put a corn kernel in the ground, and I take care of it, there'll be a stalk come up of tomatoes? No. It'll be corn. Why? Because I planted corn. That's why it comes up that way. If you put beans in the ground, you're going to get beans out. If whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. That's what you're going to get. And Paul said not just that idea of sowing and reaping that way, but he says if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Paul is saying, look, boys, y'all need to get up off of this thing and do this in the right manner, in the right heart. He said, look, if you want barrenness in your life, then sow sparingly. And I've never been a farmer. My daddy always had a garden when we grew up. And I'd get out there and I'd watch him, and he'd take them seeds and he'd just, he'd just cast them by hand a lot of time. And I'd say, Daddy, why are you throwing so much? He said, because we want to get something. Well, is every one of them going to come up? Probably not all of them, but most of them will come up and they'll bring up something with them. But you know what? That's just a biblical principle. Whatever your hand does, do it with all your might unto the Lord. Do it right. Hey, if you'll sow, just let her rip. Get out there and let it go. Man, you're going to have a lot to harvest one day. But if you just do it grudgingly, if you do it sparingly, I'm just going to drop one here, one over here, maybe one down here. You do that, you're not going to get very much out of that harvest. You're going to have that harvest, you're going to have some barrenness. And he talks about barrenness here, doesn't he? He said, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. That's a barren way to sow. If y'all remember last week, if he was here, Brother Tyler was preaching about the idea of the different soils and how that it went, and the birds came and got some of it. Some of it went into the hard ground, went into the weedy patches, and some of it was choked out by the... Hey, but some of it went into good ground. Thank God I want to throw her out there in the good ground, don't you? I don't want it to be barren. I don't want it to be unfruitful. I don't want it not to have something to come up. I want something there. I want to sow in bountifulness. You know, as I said, you can take one kernel of corn. Take one little kernel of corn, plant it in the ground, and a stalk comes up. And that stalk may have several ears of corn on it. Well, you've already multiplied it right there. But peel back one of those ears of corn and look at all the individual kernels that are on that little cob of corn. Look at all of that. You put one seed in and boom, here it came up and you've already got a multiplied blessing. You've got something that is a bounty because of the way that you sowed. And if you just sowed, man, ever so many inches or whatever it is, and you got all of that corn there, and buddy, corn starts popping up everywhere, and every one of them stalks has got multiple ears on it. Hey, pretty soon, you've got yourself a crop, right? And that's exactly what you want. And thank God, you think about it like this. God took his son, Jesus, and he buried him in a lowly grave, a borrowed grave, by the way, And then, you know what happened there? Jesus came out of that grave on the third day, and he was there as a living proof of the goodness and the grace of God, and he lives forevermore. He paid our sin debt, and now look at the harvest that came from that one little grain that died and was put into the ground. Amen? God's Son died for me and you. As a matter of fact, do you know that you can take this idea of planting and sowing, and you can use that verse, John 3:16, with it? For God so loved the world that he gave. He planted his only Son. But that whosoever will. Hey, if you come to him, he'll save you, and there'll be a bumper crop. Thank God, aren't you glad one of these days we're going to pull into heaven, and Jesus is going to be there, that one that died for us, and we're going to be there. What did John say? John said, I saw 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And they were all saying, hey, praise God. They were saying, we give you worship and honor and glory and praise, for thou hast redeemed us from every kindred, every nation, every tongue. You have saved all of us by your one death being planted in the ground and coming out like that little old grain of seed. Amen. And Jesus even said that himself, didn't he? He said, if a seed doesn't die, it just abides by itself. He said, but if it dies and it opens up, it yields something. There's some fruit out of that labor. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about it maybe in a little different way. But he says, man, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. You want to have some barrenness in your life? Don't give. Just come in the church service. I dare you to bless me, preacher. Amen. Just come in and say, I ain't going to do nothing. I don't care. I don't want nothing to happen. I mean, just come in church. You know what you'll get? About that much right there. But if we'll come in and say, God, I want something to happen. I want you to bless us as a church. I want to, if I got to sing, let me sing. If I got to say something, let me say something. If I got to do something, let me do something. If I can just worship and praise, glorify your name, let me get in there and do it. Amen. You know what? He'll bless you as you put yourself there in that place of saying, God, here I am. I'm giving it my, I'm not sparing nothing. I'm gonna give it all I got. I'm going to be generous in my sowing. And he said, he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. So there's barrenness, there's bountifulness. But let me tell you this. There's a begrudging in your giving. You see what he says? But in verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly. Don't do it begrudgingly. He says, but, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You see, you're supposed to give. And you know what? You and I, some folks say, well, preacher, I can't do it. I got a bill due next week. Don't give with the idea of looking ahead and saying, oh, I've got to do this and I got to do it. Hey, you give when God says give and what he says give, and I'll guarantee you he'll take care of you. He will bless your life. He'll come through, like I was telling you this morning, the same idea. You just give to him. Thank God he said you just give, and it's like bread cast upon the water. I'm just telling you, you've heard that old saying all of your life. You can't outgive God. I'll guarantee you it's true. You'll never outgive the Lord. Whatever you give, thank God he'll multiply. He'll get it back to you in some way. And it'll usually be in a spiritual blessing, a spiritual way. He'll take care of those that are his. You remember that little lady that was there in the temple, and Jesus is there watching. They're over by the place where everybody puts their offerings in the temple. Jesus and his men sitting over there, they're watching everybody go by, and they're seeing all of these rich folk and people that's got, and they're throwing in, boy, they're throwing in the money, and they're, you know, in those days they had the barrels that were there. They had the bins that you cast your money into, and it's kind of like a lot of other things, you know, you can make it rattle, right? You can put it in there, and it sounds like a lot. You put a few coins or whatever, and it goes, shing, 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 you know, make a lot of noise. And they said, hey, y'all, listen, I'm putting my offering in. And it says there's a little widow woman in there, and she had two mites. I mean, that ain't even enough for nothing. And she cast it in just as unsuspectingly and unknown. And she goes on her way. And Jesus said, boys, hold on a minute. He said, you see that lady right there? She's put in more than they all. They're all looking around like, we didn't see her put in anything. He said, oh, she's put in everything she's got. He said, and it never, the story never really tells you, but you know what I think? She put that in there. Everything she had, all of her living is what Jesus said. She put in all of her living. And you know what she expected to get out of that? I don't think she was expecting to be a multimillionaire. I don't think she's expecting Joel Osteen to send her a check. I don't think she's expecting any of that. But you know what I think happened? I think God took care of her. I believe God took care of her just like he took care of that little widow woman that was there in Zarephath, and Elijah showed up and she said, I don't have anything but just a little bit of meal, a little bit of oil. And old Elijah said, you make me a cake first and let's see what God can do. And God fed them probably anywhere from 6 months to a year out of that empty barrel and an empty oil of a cruise of oil. God fed them for all that. How did he do it? Because he can. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the way God supplies. And that's what Paul is talking about here in this time. I mean, he said, look, there's a law about this. And the law says, hey, it's a law of giving. It's the law of sparing and bountiful giving and sowing and reaping. He said, there's a law here, and you folks need to learn it. I want to tell you, some of the hardest-nosed people in the world, those that have, well, we can't give, we got too much. Well, you got to, you know, loosen up a little bit. Give and let God get what he deserves and what he ought to have. And thank God, he'll just turn around. He'll bless you, amen? He'll bless you. The Lord said, try me. Prove me. See if I can't pour you out a blessing that you're not able to contain. All right? Last thing I want you to look at, though. I mean, he talks about that we should have some love, that we do have a law. Last of all, he talks about this in the following verses, that we do have a Lord. Amen. We got a Lord that's involved in every bit of this. Look what he says in verse number 8. He said, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increases the fruit of your righteousness. What about that? Paul says this. He says, look, we've got a Lord that takes care of all this stuff. I mean, if you're worried about giving and it being done sparingly, he said, you need to get over that. You need to learn how to love people. You need to learn how to give. You need to how to let it go out of your hand. You need to learn how to let God take what you got. He said, you know why? Because he gave it to you anyway. Amen. He said, first of all, we've got a Lord, and our Lord is one who is gracious. You see that? He said, and God, listen, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you. God. God's able to make his grace, his graciousness, his goodness, his plenty, his supply. God's able to give that toward you. Amen. Hadn't you experienced that before? I mean, you just, you know, where'd this come from? God did it. Amen. Now, I'll be real honest with y'all. When we hit that COVID bump here, several years ago in 2020, and we was trying to have church, and we was doing, you know, all the things, and there wasn't nobody in church, right? They would, you can't have people in church, and we was trying to do it on the you know, video link and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. We was doing that, and I'll be honest with you, here's me now. I'm honest. I'm the preacher of oh me of little faith. I thought, man, we ain't gonna have no money. We won't be able to pay our bills. We won't be able to pay our missionaries. We won't be able to do nothing. And you know what? God never failed us one time. He was right there every week. How did he do it? I'll tell you this. I don't know how he did it. I got no idea how he did it. I just know that he did do it. Why? Because he's a God that's got all graciousness. He's a God that's got everything in his hand. The songwriter said he holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand. I ain't got it figured out. Old preacher said this, that God owns the cattle of a thousand hill and the taters under the hill. Thank God it's all his anyway. I don't get it. I don't understand. But guess what? I don't have to. You know, sometimes you, as I said this morning, you sit down with a pen and paper and you can say, I make this much. And if I give this much to the church and I pay my other bill, we ain't going to be able to make it through the month. And you know what? Go ahead and do it anyway and God somehow figures it every bit out. I don't understand that. But you know what? Hey, I've got a Lord. And I've got a Lord who is gracious. He is just gracious. Amen? But not only will I say he's a God that is gracious. Look down there a little bit further. He says in verse number 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. You see that? He says, look, here's what you got. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. You know what he's saying? God is the one, we've got a Lord who deserves our gift of giving of thanks. We ought to thank God for how he gives. He said, we're enriched in everything. We have everything. To all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Can I tell you, we're very short in this area. But, I mean, you just look around. Anybody in here didn't eat today? I didn't think so. Most of us in here got a vehicle? Yeah. Got a good home to go to? You know what? Well, thank you, God. We ought to be giving thanks to God because he is the one that provided every bit of it. Amen. We ought to be running circles, shouting to the top of our lungs and saying, thanks be unto God for what he's done for us. Amen. He said, for the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints. Paul says, look, what you do, it's not just there to help the saints, to help those needy saints in Jerusalem. He said, but it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. In other words, because of that, and somebody else see it, they say, wow, look at them people. How'd they do that? Somebody said, God done it. They say, glory be to God. Amen. Do you know that that's what Jesus said when he did many of the miracles, many of the things, and people would be awed and awed and look at him and they didn't, oh, they were awed. And he'd say, give thanks. He said, give glory to God. Give thanks to the Father in heaven. Man, that's the way it ought to be. I didn't do anything. You didn't do anything. But thanks be to God who did everything. That's what he's saying. That's what we ought to be. We've got a Lord. He's gracious. And he deserves the giving of our thanks toward him, and he is a Lord who will be glorified by others because of what he's done for us. Look here in verse number 13. He said, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God on for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them all and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. There are other people. There are other people that are praying for you, and as they pray for you, and God supplies to you, and you give however you give, they're over there saying, well, thank you, God, for answering prayer. Amen? Can you imagine that in the life of a missionary? That a missionary is over there, and you and I are over here praying for him, and God supplies his need over there wherever he's at, and he's over in, you know, over in Europe, or he's over in Asia, or he's over in Africa, or wherever he is, and God supplies for him. You know what? And they send back message and say, hey, guess what? God did this and this and this for us. And we just, woo, hallelujah, God heard our prayers, and God ought to receive praise from us for what he's done for them. And that's what Paul is saying here. These folks that you're trying to help, they've prayed for you to have the ability to be able to help them. And when you send that offering, when you send that gift, when you supply and meet that need, they just say, praise God for answering prayer. And that's the way we ought to be. You know what? We get together, and Wednesday nights we pray for all of our sister churches round about us here. We pray for them and for their pastors and for those that are looking for a pastor and all that. And we're praying for them. And you know what? Every once in a while, somebody will send in a report, and they'll say, well, you know, some got saved over here at this church and got saved down here. And I say, you know what I say? Wahoo! Thank God for answering prayer, right? Because God did it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. They didn't do it. But God did it all. And he deserves all of the glory for everything that is done. Amen? I mean, look, Paul says this. Hey, look, they see your profession of your faith. They are praying for you after they see how God's grace works in you. And then, wow, they're just amazed at how God does. But I like the way Paul kind of sums this whole thing up in the end. He says, you prayed, God supplied. No. Then he said in verse number 15, he said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Yeah. You know what that is? That's Jesus. Paul said, can I just tell you more than anything? I thank God for Jesus and what he's done in my life and in your lives. We all thank God for his unspeakable gift. Somebody said, I don't know if this is so, but I'd heard a preacher, commentator, somebody say, Paul had to make that word up. There was not, this word has never been used, I don't think it ever was used again in your Bible. But do you see what Paul says? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. One preacher said this. He said, Paul's never been at a loss for words until now. When he's trying to describe what Jesus is to him. Can I tell you, you'll never be able to tell it. You'll never be able to tell what Jesus is and what he's done for you. Amen? We sing that song sometimes in the choir. I just can't praise him enough. I just can't thank him. I just can't tell you how much he's done for me. And you know what? That's true. Brother Ronnie's talking about this morning about that song, The Love of God. And in the last verse of that song, The Love of God, it said, if the skies were of parchment made and every stalk on earth a quill and the ocean was filled with ink and every man was a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You can't tell it. You cannot tell this story. Somebody said that to Spurgeon, he said they kind of talked about him, and some folks said they'd gone down and heard Spurgeon preach, and someone said, well, I guess he's still telling that same old story. And Spurgeon said, I've been here for 40 years, and if the Lord allows me another 20 years, I'll still keep telling that same old story. Why? Because, man, you'll never get it all told. You'll never get it all told about how good he is, how much his grace has done in your life. You'll never know. We'll never know. You know, we sing those songs. We sing that song, oh, yes, or oh, no, the old story never grows old. Amen? And we sing another song here out of the songbook. I love to tell the story of unseen things above. Of Jesus and his glory of Jesus and his love. Man, I just love it. People say, oh, that's old, that Bible's old, all that stuff. Yeah, but I just don't ever get over it, do you? It's the same love story from beginning to end. And I love to tell the story. Amen? Oh, listen, isn't it good to know that you know that old story? Brother Ronnie, come on, let's get ready to sing a verse, some song if you would tonight. We'll sing and you got anything you need to come pray about or whatever God may be doing to you. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, we got a Lord that sure is gracious. He sure does love us. He sure does want to do something for you. And you know what? He wants me and you to be blessed and abound in the goodness and the good grace and the wondrous things of the Lord. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, now. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron?